I have to announce to you that I will never retire. I will only retire when I'm dead in this ring.
How about that announcement?
Over my dead body. I've got too much juice left. Woo! I'm still an itch boy. I love this business. I'm going nowhere. Thank you. Woo!
Oh, stop.
Oh, boy, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay. Boy,
gosh, I hope she's okay.
Oh, Steve, she wasn't okay. She was scarred for life. Welcome in. We have made it to Friday.
Get out of town, drag.
Just
all of it.
Have made it to Friday. To drag your ass Friday. It's a get out of town Friday. Hey, it's when you head east Friday. Just remember, yes, you think it's clear sailing across that pass until you get to Cleellum. Comes to a grinding halt Friday. Jim Moore is off Friday, and he'll be off all next week. He's in Europe, and I can tell you this, he's landed. He has landed in Europe. He is at a pub, and he told me they've already fought. So it sounds like family vacation to Europe. Is off to a great start.
Kind of want
to
call him now and do a quick update.
I kind of, you know what? We should just call him. Hey, what are you doing? What's up? How's London? All right, what do you want me to give away?
Give away the Joel tickets.
Okay. Right now?
Let's do it right now. Get it out the
10th
way.
10th caller?
There, that's fine.
21st caller wins a pair of tickets to go see Joel McHale. Friday, June 16th at 8 o'clock. Has anyone ever heard that Joel played football for Washington? Tight end? He's at the Tulalip Resort Casino. Tickets are now on sale at Ticketmaster.com. You may know Joel hosting The Soup and his role in the sitcom Community. Again, tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com for Joel McHale. 21st caller at 286-9595. 1-800-829-0950. Are you trying to say that we do not have 21 listeners?
No, it's going to take a minute to go through 21.
There we go. Well, Chris.
Here they go.
Here we go. We're going to make you we're going to make you earn this. Okay? We're going to make people earn it. 21. Why 21? I don't know. Best 21 player ever. Who was the best player to ever wear at number 21? Dion? Dion's 21, right? Yeah, Dion. I'd say Deion Sanders, best player. I know I'm missing somebody, too. And I know this Tullamore Dew text line is going to remind me, hey, idiot, so-and-so wore 21. Roberto Clemente wore 21. Deion Sanders, first one to come to mind. All right, it's a Flair Friday, Drag Your Ass Friday. We mentioned that. Our show brought to you by the Tulalip Resort Casino DraftKings Sportsbook, where they say the action never stops. It's Kid and I. We roll until 1 o'clock before we hand the reins over to the mayor. Coming up at 1, along with Jessamyn McIntyre. We've got a great show for you planned today. Michael Sean Dugard, the real Michael Sean Dugard, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little Seahawks minicamp as they wrapped up. Everyone's headed home for summer break. Where's everybody going to go? Where's everyone spending their summer vacay? We'll find out with Dugard coming up at 10:30. Mick Hoffman, who runs the WIAA. Who runs all of high school sports in the state of Washington. Is going to stop on by, pay us a visit at 11. They've got a big announcement. You've probably seen it in the news about the future of the high school football championship game getting to be played at the University of Washington, which is certainly great news. Voicemails, 11:30. Your tweet of the day coming up, 11:45. And Christopher Egan, who is now, I believe, a 20-time Emmy Award winner, will join us today as he normally does at 12 o'clock. Headlines always brought to you by VenueKings.com. Los Marineros are back at it today. They're taking on the Angels. What a great matchup tonight. Otani versus Castillo. That's going to be an Apple Plus, guys and gals. Apple Plus tonight. Now, for you older people out there, like my wife's parents and others, don't text and call me and email me about how to set it up, all right? You got to figure it out. You guys, you've made it through this life this long. I think you can figure out on your own how to get Apple Plus. Just set up an email, copy somebody's email password, and get your account. But they're on Apple Plus tonight. Yeah.
Did you want to do this again at 11? Because we have one more pair.
Oh, yeah. Did we already get somebody?
We got somebody. He's taken care of.
Is he already? Is he there?
No, he's gone. I wrapped it up.
Who was it?
It was Joe Kelly.
Hey, Joe Kelly. The pitcher?
The doctor.
Joe Kelly, the doctor.
Well, that's his email. Dr. Joe Kelly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you know, doctors, because they don't make a lot of money, do need to win free tickets to things.
Randomizer. What can we say? He was a 21st caller.
These doctors, they're hard on their luck. Probably lives in Medina. A hard hit area, Chris. Not a lot of people come out of there.
Tough times. Alive.
Huh? Well, tough times in Medina. Has been for years. All right, congratulations to Joe Kelly. Wins a pair of tickets to go see Joel McHale. We will give out, you want to do it at 11?
Get another way.
Another pair. I love our strategy here. It's not, hey, we got this cool prize that we want to give away. All it is because both of us will forget, and that's what we normally do.
That's what we did yesterday.
I know.
Literally.
And it's just like, let's just get it out of the way.
Get it done.
We'll give away another pair at 11 o'clock. Joel McHale tickets to... go see him at the Tulalip Resort Casino, 6 o'clock, or excuse me, 8 o'clock on June 16th. Also, one more time, I got to mention this. You got to listen to the keywords today and all week long. When you hear the nationwide keyword that we'll play, it will be obvious when you hear it. You got to text 200-200, your chance to win a trip for two, including round-trip airfare, two-night hotel accommodations, ground transportation, and a couple of tickets to go see the 2023 iHeart Music Festival.
What time can we expect to hear that sounder?
Well, we already, we're past that. 1 o'clock?
And?
5 o'clock?
There we go.
Thank you, sir. 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock, you hear that sound. Shouldn't we just tell them, like, we just, why would we tell them? Now they're going to sit there and wait till 1 and 5.
How about you listen?
Okay.
It's all good.
So, win a shot for Trip for Two of the iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Covino and Rich. Headlines, again, Mariners today. They're back at it. We got Seahawks minicamp, NBA Finals Nuggets in Miami, 5:30 on ABC. Okay, there we go. We're all set. We're all finished. Got everything. We've taken
nailed
care
it.
Of everything.
You've nailed right. it. Whew. Oh, just got a new email.
What?
I'm kidding.
You know what? I wouldn't.
It happens.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt we'd get another one. Hey, promote another thing. I mean, we really are just, that's what we've turned into, kid.
Promotions.
It really is just it's like 3 hours of just promotions.
You ain't lying.
I mean, it's exhausting.
I feel like every time I host a show, when people are on vacation or the hype, I'm just like, damn, we got a lot to promote.
That's all you promote.
The first
and then
8 minutes of me just, all right, guys, this is what we have going for the show this week.
Chris, we're 9 minutes into the show. We haven't even discussed anything yet. Well, which is not, it's not uncommon.
Car course,
Yeah, it really is. But that's, that's the way that we like to roll here. We don't like to get into things right away. That's our cup of tea. I know it's not for everyone, but it's for us. You should do the show that's for you. You should walk your own path. You should live your own life.
First down.
First down. What do you want to do? You want to go start asking me questions? I mean, you can if you like. We should flip it, though, because it's usually like the producer that sits there and asks the host all the questions.
You the questions.
I think we should flip it around.
You and Jim pepper me.
And we pepper with you with questions. Because I always think it's funny, like when these producers, who are on the air and all that stuff, like you, but you host too. It's not like you can't have an opinion on sports and have to be just sit here and have a role where you have to ask questions to people. I mean, Jesus, you've hosted a show before. Everyone in this business has started off in that role. Well, most people have. Well, yeah, I think everybody. Everybody that I know started off in that role. Of being a producer first and then going in.
Unless you're a writer like Jim, who just...
Well, Jim would be a little bit different, but Softy did. I did. I don't know if Ian did. Ian might have. Gas did.
Do you remember how to produce at all?
Produced? Okay, so there's two different...
So how about this?
So when I came up, there was two different styles of producing. So there was a producer who all they did was like show content, get booking guests, coming up with ideas, and then there was a board op.
Yeah. So could you run the board?
No, not this one. There's not this new one. No. I mean, if you showed it to me,
how long do you think it would take you?
Hour.
Oh.
Don't do it because I don't.
Next week I'll put you in.
The thing because if I acknowledge that I could learn to run that thing, it's not good. It's not good news for you or anybody else.
Bad business.
Because what they'll do is like, well, why are we spending money on him?
You got kids.
Let's just sit there. Now you run the board from in there while you're hosting a show.
Shocking.
That will be the next step. I know what's coming. Trust me, I know what's coming in this industry. The next step is the host will just sit there and run their own board. Well, the FM guys do it. I know we're on FM, but the music guys do that.
Well, to your point, they don't have too many.
Well, they don't. They're segments. It's a lot of like bits and music and things like that. Right. It's not
you
like
actually
live.
Have yeah. to have some commentary.
But we don't need to let them know that we can do that. It's just we already let them know that we can go out on remotes and set this equipment up ourselves, and then they're away when engineers. Now we're really going in the weeds here with sports radio, but yeah, I mean everyone. Kind of starts off in that business. I mean, when we were in Portland doing this, we double dipped. I mean, we would run the board and also produce at the same time. But when we got up here, but that was a smaller market. When you got up to this bigger market, but I was done producing by the time I got here. But when you got to this bigger market, yeah, there were two sets. There was someone who just ran the board. They called them a technical director. And then someone who just booked all the guests.
I like board op. It's pretty.
Do you like board op or technical director? See, technical director kind of sounds like, whoa.
Yeah.
But the hell do you do? Kind of a big deal.
Technical sounds something like our engineers.
A technical director would always tell you to turn your microphone up.
And stop, my mic is pretty loud.
Stop whispering inside the microphone.
I don't whisper. I just think.
I know you don't. You don't. But you get the soft spoken, and then people are like I can't hear you.
Oh, it's just you, and then people following him. Like, yeah, kid, turn your mic.
Well, that's true, though. That's true. Because when you and Dugard do the hype, you don't do this.
Well, it's different. I'm the host.
Well, but act like a host right now. You don't need to act like a producer.
No, I'm not acting, but
we're all acting. Let's be honest.
I'm playing the role. I know my main thing is to make sure the show sounds good and to have guests booked and et cetera.
Well, yeah, but it's already booked now. You're good.
Sometimes now you just come in here and I'm like, oh, this is.
Okay, but that's just us. That's how we operate. That's how
I'm not talking about how you operate. I'm talking about some days I know it's like, I still got to book some.
Oh, yeah, but that's.
And it's like
stress.
Last minute, so
that's,
I don't even.
That's
have
why
time.
I hate Sunday nights.
Would you prefer me to text you in the afternoon on Sunday?
I don't want anything. I want nothing on Sunday.
Okay.
So I hate Sundays. Because hold on. When I treat Sundays like, I'm dreading Monday like everybody else does, when I treat Sundays like I try to normally do, like last Sunday, where I do a bunch of stuff, like treat it like a Saturday, then it's perfect. Then I'll deal with Monday.
Fair enough.
Monday is my Sunday.
Because sometimes I'll be like, is it late? Too late to text?
No, Puck? You can text any time, but I'm just saying that I don't.
Because I'm wondering, I'm like, you know, sometimes I'll text Puck maybe at like 7, like, hey, this is what I got for guests. What are your thoughts? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or it'll be like 9:30. I'm like, yeah, it's on the East Coast. I have to wait in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because you might have read something or saw a story. And
Mondays, we just wake up and we'll really just kind of spitball it. It's easier during the football. That's the football season's the easiest.
Easy for itself.
You just
NFL Network.
There's just so talk about the Seahawks game. But I enjoy this time of year, like really of sports radio and more so. You got baseball. You just can talk about different stuff and not be beholden to one topic. Even though they're like, well, you're talking Seahawks. I say, yeah, I know. But it's wrapping up minicamp. But
Mariners.
You got Mariners, got Otani and Castillo coming up tonight. It's going to be a pitching match, great pitching matchup. Again, for you older crowd, Apple Plus TV, just text your kids and figure out how to get it done. All right?
We should do a giveaway. First $10.
What? Apple Plus? Like, for giveaway, like I help you?
Puck gives his password to a lucky caller that doesn't have Apple Plus. I see your thought is like, I don't want to do that. But then there's a part of
you. I kind of like it.
Then this part of you is like, you know what? I wouldn't mind helping out a listener that doesn't have Apple Plus.
Hold on. Okay. I'm kind of vibing this a little bit.
We can do it at noon if you're
But
still,
here's the thing.
Egan.
I can't remember. You know how Netflix is doing this new thing
you
now,
think
right?
Apple is can't. Like,
well, I don't know. I don't know if Apple does that. Because several people do have my Apple password.
Jim is one of them.
Jim has it. My buddy Chris has got it.
Yeah, not
me. I think several buddies have it. I think the grandparents have it.
Okay, I think you're maxed out.
But I don't think they have that, though. I think Apple Plus doesn't have.
How bad would it be if we were we give this giveaway?
And then I lose it? Well, whatever.
No, sign up again. Tell somebody to shut off.
You don't not lose give it up.
But they can't access it because it says you've reached your max.
Oh, yeah. And then you kind of have like a Hunger Games type of thing, like who gets to keep it?
Ooh. I'm guessing the grandparent.
I think they're the first ones out. I think they're out.
The fam's first.
I kind of like that idea of someone that doesn't have Apple Plus and you want to watch the Mariners game tonight. Do I give you my login tonight? Does that mean you can see then all the stuff that I've been watching?
Well, yeah, they have access to your account. If they say previously watched, just like everyone else that has your account.
Yeah, but see, you can't don't jump ahead with like Silo.
Well, that'd be
I don't need you jumping ahead on that
one. So you're a week behind or something?
No, I'm getting caught up, and it's getting really, it's picking up right now.
Now that you've said
you
that,
would like Silo. Don't you have my account, too?
See, no, you've thought this multiple times. I never got it. My girl has the account. Now.
Okay, have you watched Silo? No. It's right in your wheelhouse.
How you spell it?
Like Silo, S-I-L-O.
Oh, okay, I was right. I was confused. I was thinking Silo.
P-H-A-N-L-O.
Silo.
You would love it.
Silo.
Apocalyptic kind of what's going on in the world, you know, it's in kind of your way. You would enjoy it, I think.
Well, let me write it down.
Hey, I was thinking about this yesterday. We posted this, the little Mariners rant yesterday.
It wasn't little.
Well, no, it wasn't
little. I made it little.
It was longer. It was much longer than that, but it's okay.
If you listen to the full, no, I'm kidding.
That's true. No, but it is. And, here's the thing about being a fan. I was reminded of this last night. I was watching a Little League. We were participating in a Little League game last night, a championship game. And I was watching a group of kids, a group of 10-year-olds win a championship and celebrate like as 10-year-olds. And anybody will celebrate a championship. You know, the hats in the air, the gloves flying in the air, the celebration, the tears of joy, the hugging, high-fiving, how anyone reacts to winning. And it reminded me as I sat back and was kind of watching this and why we all love sports. And that's why we love sports. That right there. And then I also watched a group of kids console another group of kids on the other team who had lost. And then that's the flip side of it. You know, there's a winner and then there's a loser. But then I watched a group of kids handle themselves at an age of 10 with more maturity than, I'll be honest with you, a lot of adults handle themselves with. And console people that they know and show a sign of sportsmanship that should be commended at any level. It doesn't matter what level of sport you play. You win, you lose, but you get in a handshake line, you acknowledge the other team, and you acknowledge the other players because you know how hard it is to win, and you know how much it hurts when you lose. We all know that, right? Doesn't matter what level of sport you played in. Like if you're like the majority of us where it all stopped in high school, but you remember that. You remember what it felt like to win and lose. But it reminded me as I was watching that last night on the field is you'll see this in the next week or two, right? Whether it's either the Nuggets or the Heat that win a championship. And they will celebrate like a bunch of 10-year-olds. They'll be running and jumping in their arms and crying and the emotions and everything. And then you get reminded of all the money and the greed and the wealth that's involved in sports. You know, I think at that moment, which then will creep back in eventually with these guys, but you will see that at that moment, whether it's Jokic and Murray or maybe it's Butler and Adebayo when they win, that they all just a bunch of 10-year-olds playing youth sports and celebrating and winning. And when you see it later this year in baseball when they do that, if it's the Panthers or the Knights, whoever win the Stanley Cup, they will hug each other, they will cry, they will have smiles as big as the Grand Canyon because they have been playing a sport since they were 10 years old. And that feeling that they will have on the ice, on the court, is the same feeling that they had on some ice when they were 10 in Ottawa or some basketball court in Chicago at 10 years old. And it just made me think that with all the greed that we've talked about this week in sports, it is a reminder just of what sports mean. And the joy and the passion of winning and being upset when you're losing, but understanding too, there's like a two-parter, is that despite all the wealth, what has made me personally, just my opinion, upset about this whole thing with the golf world and what it represents. Because at its core, it doesn't represent the best of sport. I'll move past the atrocities and all that other stuff and the morality of it. It doesn't represent the beautiful thing about sport. It actually, to me, represents the absolute negative of sport. And it's just greed. Unbridled greed. And, you know, for me, and I think there's others that probably think that, I just, you know, it's not a place for me. Does it mean I'm not going to watch or any of that supported? I mean, that's probably going too far. But it just does represent this enormous gap of greed that has infiltrated sports. And I know it's been there for a long time, and it's been there for a long time in society. And the same thing with how college football is going. Just greed. And greed is, some think that the greed, and it's the same thing for golf. The greed is good for college football because players are getting paid and there's going to be a lot of benefits from it. But it started before that because it's the greed of coaches and it's the greed of schools and the greed is at universities and everyone. And then for the golfers, yeah, it's going to be good for the sport. But I don't know. I don't know if it's good for the sport. You know, there's a lot of great, you know, golf in particular has a bad reputation of being an elitist sport. And in really, in most cases, it is. It is an elitist sport. It has been for a very long time. I love the sport dearly. Love playing, played as a kid. Grew up playing Maplewood Golf Course, a little nine-hole track. Now it's 18. Everyone probably knows that if you're down there. Grew up doing that. I grew up working. And then the contrast to that was I worked at Fairwood Golf and Country Club. You know, I was like 15 years old. And so you saw the flip side of that. And, you know, I saw just how different those two worlds were. Now, are there courses like the Seattle course? I've done work with Premier forever. Are there Seattle courses that do provide a, you know, a reasonable amount to play? Of course. But for the majority, and everyone knows, you want to book a tee time around here. You want to go play golf, especially like in an upper tier golf course. You're going to be paying a lot of money. And so I think the message to kids, the message to people want to get in that sport is that it still remains kind of this greed elitist sport. So that's kind of one side of greed. The other side of it too, just going back to winning and losing, and I'll tie it back in here with the Mariners real quick, is this. The goal in sports is to win. I don't care what age level you are at. It is to win. Yes, you want to, there's other lessons, especially at a younger age. Of course there is. And it's not all about winning. But the goal is in sport to win. And that's where I think led to the frustration yesterday. But it leads to the frustration of a lot of Mariner fans. The goal is to win. Win at all costs. Win. And I think for an organization that has been struggling to find their footing in this in that particular sphere in sports is to win. Win. It is massively frustrating to watch them, especially what they were coming off a year ago. It is okay, and I want to repeat, it is okay as a fan to demand more and better from your professional baseball team or any team. It's okay, and I said this about the Sounders. The Sounders fan base is extremely frustrated with the way this season has been going. That's okay. They don't sit there and fall back on, well, we've had two championships and a CONCACAF, so it doesn't matter what happens. That's not the right attitude to have. And Seahawks fans are the same way. Some will call them spoiled. Why? Why should they be spoiled? They demand excellency. They demand excellence, I should say. And they demand to win because they've won. And we have the I'll bring Washington. Washington's a professional franchise in essence. You know, we joke around, they reference 91 all the time, but that's a standard set that they believe as a fan base, and rightfully so, that they should at least have the expectation to win and to be a national title contender and all of that. And that's okay. And when you fall short of that, it's okay to be upset about it. Mariner fans, we need, you know, a lot of you need to get there, need to get in that space. That it's not okay to just be like this and to be okay with it. It's not okay to sit back there and go, well, just a game under 500. It's not okay. Not with the expectations that were set for this team this year. All right. Long-winded point. And, of course, Solo still went over. How about that? Michael Shondugar talking on minicamp coming up next.
Now back to the Puck and Jim Show on Sports Radio 93.3. KJRFM, proudly presented by the Tulalip Resort Casino Sportsbook. Let the betting begin. When all you want is everything. They're excited that their DraftKings Sportsbook operations are now open at both Tulalip Resort Casino and Quill Cedar Creek Casino.
Back of the show. It's a Puck No Go To Guy today. Chris Kidd is here, CKidd206. And, of course, he is one of the hosts of The Hype that you will hear throughout probably the summer and probably back in the fall as well. And then the other half of The Hype, I think, did we wake him up? You said he likes to sleep in a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, he is, I believe, a Murrow Award winner. He's an all-around great guy. He's got a whole wall of trophies. And he joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. He's so popular, he's got a hyphenated name. Michael Shondugar from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Dugar. Mike, what's up?
That's a great intro, Puck. I appreciate that.
You know what? It's
I don't know how much of it was true, but it sounded great.
How are you? Good to catch up with you again. Mini camp is over. And can I just tell you my favorite part of mini camp so far and Twitter and all of it, is just every day. It's like when I see Chris Kidd does the top of the morning, y'all, is every time when I go to your Twitter feed and I just see JSN content. That's been the highlight of this week and the last 2 weeks for me, is the highlights of Jackson, Smith, and Jigba.
So I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. One day, I was tweeting about Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. And, I mean, his last name is hyphenated and spelled N-J-I-G-B-A, right? So I'm trying to type that, but I have sunglasses on, and I almost type not his last name. You guys can probably guess what I accidentally typed. So I was actually standing next to John Boyle of Seahawks.com. I was like, John, I'm about to just call this dude JSN for the foreseeable future on Twitter because I'm not going to mess this up. And I could probably get away with messing that up, maybe maybe more so than some of my peers.
Yeah.
Still, I don't want to be the one to mess that up. So that's how I started just going, you know what, it's JSN. I don't even need a caption. Just here's JSN doing something. Doesn't even really matter.
Yeah,
that's a little behind the scenes on why
I love it. You know, I'm going to adopt that. I do always, every time I say his name, I really slow it down, because if you go through that too fast, it's just not good.
It can get real dicey if you mess up his name. Maybe more so than any other name on the Seahawks roster in quite some time.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful.
You're so right about that. You know, was it a week ago? I think, Chris, we talked about it, maybe a week and a half ago, and I just because I get glass half empty sometimes. And
I think it was earlier this week.
Was it earlier this week?
I'm pretty sure it was like Monday or Tuesday.
Every time, like, you guys would be out there before the mandatory minicamp, like, he'd always be out there, but he was always limited with the hamstring issues. I'm like, man, he barely played last year. Is this thing going to be, like, lingering all during the summer, and is it going to be something that pops up during the fall? And Chris and Jim are like, yeah, you're overreacting. And then he gets out this week. And looked pretty full go to me. I mean, you were out there. You tell me.
Yeah, I think he looks really good. Now, with the caveat that this is the exact setting where he should look good, right? It's 7-on-7. So there's no one can tackle him. The quarterbacks can't be touched. You know, the routes are all mostly on air. And he plays a lot in the slot. So slot guys can't really, you know, get pressed up by anyone because they'll be cooked. But even with all that in mind, he just really looks natural. It reminds me a lot of Tyler Lockett, who I kind of credit some of his natural ability with playing receiver to, like, his father and his uncle, who were both, they were stars at K-State. They both had a cup of tea in the NFL. I know his uncle did. So he's kind of born into that. Same thing with DK. Like, DK is just like, his dad played in the league, so he just kind of have a little bit of an advantage there. Same thing with Jamal Adams as well, dad playing in the league. Jackson kind of gives me that same vibe. It's like, man, you look like you've done this stuff before. You know, I wouldn't just look at number 11, watch him be like, oh, man, that's a rookie. I kind of felt the same way watching Charles Cross last year, too. I was like, man, if you just ignore draft status and just watch guys, you'd be like, wow, number 67 looks like he's been here before. So that really stood out with Jackson. Catches everything. Real natural catcher, real natural route runner. You can just see the difference. It's really nice to watch the receiver drill sometimes, and they all just go in a row, right? Like, he'll go, D will go, DK will go, Tyler, whoever else, Jake Bobo, all those guys will go. And you can just see the little differences between each guy, even the homie Aesop, Winston Jr., go Cougs. Like, you can just watch all the guys and be like, wow, man, number 11, he does look a little different. To D's credit, I know you didn't ask about D's credit, but I'll throw him in there. He also looks good right now, too, out of the receiver group. That was a pleasant surprise to see from him. But, yeah, Jackson looks like he's going to be very, very tough to guard. The team deleted the video, but, man, he beat Devin Witherspoon pretty bad, Jackson did, on Wednesday, man. That was really impressive. That was just an example of what we've been seeing at practice.
Hey, speaking of Witherspoon, they've had him playing a little bit more inside here this week. You think that's a plan moving forward, or are they just trying to see if he could hold his own there?
Yeah, I think it's an experiment, mostly because Kobe Bryant is dealing with a sprained toe. It was funny. You guys have heard Pete Carroll try to give injury updates. Right? Mm-hmm. He's actually pretty bad at it for a head coach who's been doing this for a while. Not that he doesn't relay the information. He just uses very strange lingo, calls everything unusual, which is dangerous. I was very tempted the other day because I asked, hey, what's wrong with Kobe? He was like, oh, sprained toe. I almost wanted to ask Pete which toe it was because I was 100% sure he wasn't going to know. He's very bad with the specifics sometimes. But anyway, Kobe being out is why they're trying Devin Witherspoon up at nickel. And it's smart to me because their goal when you have cornerbacks, and this is every group really, but when you have corners, try to get the best three out there. You know, don't really worry about who's the nickel, who's the this, who's the that. Try to get the best three out there, and that, I think, is what they're trying to do here. Because for my money, right now, at least, June 9th or whatever, the best three is probably going to end up being Devin Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen, and Michael Jackson. Well, that means someone has to play nickel, right? And I think Tariq, there's no reason to move him. He was great last year. Mm-hmm. You don't mess up a good thing. Mike Jack, he can play whatever side you want. So, boom, Devin Witherspoon was so good at Illinois, he can just cover anyone from any spot, doesn't matter. So I think that's the impetus for the move, is like, try to get your best guys on the field, you know, while maximizing everyone's skill set. So I think that's what moving Devin inside does. I like it. I think it's going to be a work in progress in preseason training camp, just because he hasn't actually played nickel in a defense, but I think just like Kobe Bryant did last year, he'll get the hang of it pretty quick.
Michael Sean Dugar with us, covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Dugar. I don't know who noted it on, maybe it was Twitter or something. Jamal Adams, does he look bigger to you, like noticeably bigger? Not like weight gain, just like muscular bigger.
I forget who said it too. You're right. He looks about the same to me. That's the thing about him, he's never been like a small guy. That's right. Why he can be like he puts the strong and strong safety, you know, like he's always been a pretty big dude. That's how you can rush the passer and take on left tackles and shed tight ends and, you know, take on blitzing or pass protecting linebackers. Remember, he had a couple plays where he just ran smooth into Derrick Henry, right? And Derrick Henry went backwards. Right? That's pretty impressive. So he looks about the same to me, but I mean, some guys just naturally gain weight when they're rehabbing because they're not doing their normal cardio. I'm sure he's a little heavier. Sure Jordan
he looks, doesn't look like
heavier too.
Yeah, listen, the picture I saw, he didn't look like he's like he's gained like bad weight. He just looked, he did kind of look a little bigger. I'm just wondering if they asked him to put on more weight because with a plan to move him down closer to the line of scrimmage. That's what I was thinking.
That's a good question. I don't, not that I've heard. I think he's always going to be playing by the line of scrimmage, no matter really what he weighs, right. To be honest, because it's about his play style as much as anything. Marquise Blair is probably a good example of how the play style maybe matters a little bit more than body type. Like Marquise, he was so strong that he could, like, be a nickel, which is a lot of line of scrimmage stuff as well, at like 195 pounds soaking wet with rocks in his pocket. And just because of how he played, he didn't need to be, you know, 220. So for some guys, it just really just doesn't matter. So, yeah, I think Jamal, I see why. When you look at him, like, oh, man, that dude does look pretty big. But then I went back and looked at some old stuff. I'm like, well, he's always looked kind of yoked up. Geno, actually, unrelated, looks pretty yoked up. Maybe that's just because he's been rolling the sleeves up at practice, but he does look a lot more cut than last season to me.
Cameron Young, a lot of reps at nose tackle, obviously because of the Brian Monet rehabbing his knee injury. Miles Adams, just not a practice for unknown reasons. Too much for a rookie to get this much playing time. I know they got to do it now, but something they need to address over the summer before they get the season started.
Another funny injury anecdote from yesterday. Like you said, Miles Adams didn't practice all week. I was at every walkthrough, watched every snap, wrote it down every day. I asked Pete about it yesterday. I'm like, hey, what's going on with Miles? He looks at me like I asked him why he has three heads. He's like, what are you talking about? Miles has done everything. What are you talking about? I'm stunned. I was like, oh, my God. I asked all the other writers after. I'm like, am I tripping? Did Miles practice? And they're like, no, Mike, he didn't. So, anyway, maybe just Pete just misheard me. Anyway, with Cam Young, I do think that if I had to rank them, and maybe I'll do this over the summer, ranking the positions that most easily translate from college to the pros, ignoring special teams, nose tackle might be number one. Maybe running back, but that's difficult when you talk about pass protection as well. Nose tackle might be the easiest one, and I say that because Cam ain't going to have a hard job in terms of knowing his assignment in there. When you're at nose, you pretty much just kick the center's ass as soon as they snap the ball, or you go over to the guard and rip his butt. Like, so, and Cam can do that. When you watch his tape at Mississippi State, he's got really long arms. He's really strong hands, too. Like, when he slaps a dude's helmet, that dude moves for his head, just knocks back, kind of like how they put those slapping contests on ESPN. It kind of looks like that when Cam Young hits someone in the face. So I'm actually pretty confident in his ability to translate what he was doing at Mississippi State to the pros without too much of a learning curve, because part of it is just being big. He's accomplished that. He's over 320. And playing big. And, like, again, if you watch Mississippi State, he did that pretty well.
All right, Mike, we'll cut you loose. You got any big summer plans? You head on a vacation, you stick around here. What do? I mean, the players get the time off, but you get the time off as well.
I'm going to take a lot of time off, but I am actually going to hit the road later this month for a story on a Seahawks player. I'm an active Seahawks player. I won't say which one quite yet. I probably won't say it until the story drops, but okay. That is part of my vacation-ish plans as well, to go hit the road and do a story on a current Seahawk.
I like it. It's like it's a new version of Charles Kuralt on the road, but it's Michael Sean Dugar on the road. All right. We'll have fun with that. We will look forward to reading that. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me. Go Cougs.
Yeah, there he is. Go Cougs. Michael Sean Dugar, The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Dugar. We'll be back with more on a Drag Your Ass Friday right here on 93.3. All right, it's Puck, no go-to guy today, but that doesn't mean we're not at full strength, because we got CKID206 here with us as well. Our show brought to you by the Tulalip Resort Casino DraftKings Sportsbook, where the action never stops. Mick Hoffman's going to join us coming up momentarily. I'll get his thoughts on this story. I asked Kid this. Hey, all the parents out there, I'm aware of this kid because my kid, I think, follows him or is aware of him on YouTube. Have you heard of this story, Chris, of Baby Gronk?
I have not. Give me the
deets. Because my kid, would always bring this up. Oh, Baby Gronk. I'm like, who the hell is Baby Gronk? Baby Gronk is this 10-year-old that plays football.
They drew the fake tattoos on him?
Well, I was going to, is it fake or real?
There's no way that's
possible. Well, I don't know.
Not,
are you sure?
I would bet my life savings that it's.
I think when you read this story about the dad, I wouldn't be so positive that those tattoos aren't real.
That's torture. You can't do
well,
that.
Well, okay. he's a social media sensation. So he's got 315,000 followers on, like, Instagram. I'm on his Instagram page right now checking it out, because my kid talks about him all the time, and I just had no idea who he was. But I just read this article in The Athletic, in the New York Times, about him. They did a sit-down with his dad. And he's, like, just noticeably bigger than everybody else. But he's just become this sensation because of how big he is. I don't know how good he is, other than he's 10 years old, he plays football, and he's, like, he's just bigger than everyone, kind of dominates. But he has, his dad said that, hey, this is very reminiscent of Todd Marinovich, kind of the Williams family, you know, Richard Williams, and then what's his name? Why am I blanking him? Played at Wazoo. He's kids. He's got the two sons. I'm better than Michael Jordan.
Ball.
Yeah.
Lonzo,
But what's his name?
LeVar.
Where is LeVar? We haven't heard from LeVar in a long time.
Right? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute for LeVar. And so it's very reminiscent of these guys. And he said the dad, Jake San Miguel, had said, hey, you know, from the get-go, I had a plan before he was born to make him a star. Not necessarily a football star, but like a social media star. He told The Athletic, I had a plan for my son since the day he was born, and it's playing out now. So he hands all his marketing, and he's like a big deal. Like I said, he's got a bunch of people to follow him. He just did, like, what really set him off, I think, a few weeks ago or a month ago, was he did a picture with Liz. You know who Lizzie Dunn is? She's the gymnast for LSU.
I saw the viral tweet.
Yeah, she. And so, like, when he did that, then it's you know, it went bonkers. It is remarkable to sit here and to read this article on him and just the role of a parent and a kid. Because, listen, I just got done coaching 10-year-old baseball kids. And to see, like, this guy, he is spending all summer driving around the country, going to all these football camps at all these colleges. And I think what I find most, well, the whole story is disgusting, but I think what I find most disgusting about the story is, especially when you go to his Instagram account, is he goes to all these college campuses, and I don't know how, like, he's able. He said that he just knows a lot of people. He was in the music industry, and so he's made a lot of connections that way. But he goes to all these college campuses, and if you go to it on his Instagram, like, he's got, you know, when the recruits go on recruiting visits and they put on the uniforms of the colleges, he's got that, and he's 10. He's got it at Purdue, Texas Tech, Kentucky, LSU, Louisville, Memphis, Missouri. I mean, it's all the SEC, like all of these places. And so my thing is, these schools and these coaches, what are you doing?
I don't want to tell someone how to raise a kid because I don't have kids.
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead. We do it all the time. This guy is an idiot. What he's doing.
Let your child be a child. He's 10.
He's 10 years old. He's lifting weights. Looks like he's got tattoos, or they could be fake. He's on a diet.
Which is terrible. Why would you even joke like
that? He's on a diet already. The guy doesn't let him eat anything but, like, brown rice and salmon.
I really hope this kid wants to play football and his dad's not forcing him.
What do you think is happening?
I think his dad's forcing him, but I hope that's not the case.
You think he... Well, I mean, this is, I don't know, man.
I know that.
This is, and I know there's somebody out there right now. What's the matter? As long as he likes it. Okay. He's 10. He's 10 years old.
He probably likes everything.
Man. Go read the story.
I don't know if I want to now.
It's on The Athletic. You should read it. I mean,
I haven't pulled up. I'll read it during the break.
I mean, he's got a lot of followers for sure. I mean, he is big for 10. I'll tell you that.
My height, 100.
Like, he has this one thing. He's like, he's got these Baby Gronk's official 2023 camp visits. Notre Dame, Michigan State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Memphis, Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia, Ohio State, Louisville, and Kentucky.
You think UW's going to give him a...
Wazoo? All right. Mick Hoffman, he runs the WIAA. You know, we'll talk to Mick about the huge news announcing a new venue for the state high school football championships, and we'll talk to him about that coming up next.